You're listening to Atheistically Speaking.
Hey, welcome to episode 34 of Atheistically Speaking. I'm your host, Thomas Smith. In this episode, we have part two of my interview with Thomas Wells discussing why he's not an atheist, even though he is. Sort of a joke title, but the point was why he's sort of distancing himself from the new atheists is essentially the point. And it seems like a lot of people are doing that these days, so... So without further ado, I'll go ahead and get to the second part of the interview, and then afterwards we'll have some more analysis and stuff and get to a lot of your comments, tons of comments on this. This was, oddly enough, second only to Greta Christina and feminism. This is second most comments, so that's great. Thank you guys, and keep it up. All right, here's that part two.
Another section of the article... was a criticism of the kind of rationality that new atheism seems to be concerned with. So the pejorative term for this is scientism. Of course, that's not what the new atheists call it. But new atheism does seem to be committed to a kind of definition of rationality, that people should justify their beliefs by rigorous empirical methods, and this really seems to come down to natural scientific methods, and hence the idea of scientism, that the only way of knowing anything properly is by the natural sciences. And so I think this has some problems, and there's a philosopher, Massimo Bignucci, has explored these more systematically than I have, but in the article I discuss how this kind of scientism seems to undermine the atheism project in two ways. Firstly, I think it weakens the intellectual argument against religion. And secondly, it leaves us with a rather impoverished way of understanding the world if we're actually going to be stuck with just the natural sciences. I think that's not a nice place, not a very human place to have to live.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So I am. It was pointed out to me. I believe that the G is silent. So I'm glad you also pronounced the G. So I don't feel so foolish for doing that. My entire episode prior, where I talked about this. So I think it might be Piliucci. I don't know. But anyway,
that sounds better.
That's certainly how I would want to pronounce it if I were him. Well, I just dropped the G at that point. I don't get it. What's it doing for you? No. Piliucci, this is something I find really interesting. And I think I find it so interesting because I do feel like I'm on both sides of it in some ways. It seems pretty uncontroversial to say that just hardcore scientism has to be wrong. I mean, where you're saying the only way you can know anything is through science. Well, of course that's wrong. And if there are atheists who are putting that notion forward, I think they need to take a step back. But there's interesting middle ground. I think that science, and I'm hopefully having him on the show. We're coordinating a time currently, so I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to this discussion as to sort of prep me for that. Maybe I can hone my ideas a little bit. I think that there is some ways in which I think our society needs more emphasis on science. I don't think that, I don't believe philosophy is irrelevant as much as some atheists seem to, some new atheists rather. But I also think that for any philosophical argument, if there's scientific data to be gathered, it has to bend to that data. That seems obvious to me. So in some ways, that I think some people would put science on sort of a higher plane because of that. But maybe that's inappropriate. I don't know.
So the idea of science as a gold standard?
Well, just in the way that for any argument, if you go out and you measure the results of it, if it's possible, usually it's not, and that's why philosophy exists. But if there's any measurement to be taken, experiment to be done to test the argument, philosophy has to bend to that data. I mean, right? I mean, it's I think maybe philosophy of mind would be one field that I think has done that, because it's just the science of mind has just pretty much disproven almost every single early view at that. Would you say that's accurate or no?
I'm not a philosopher of mind, but I do know that many philosophers of mind are savagely critical of neuroscience as being philosophically illiterate.
Hmm.
The idea that you can look at a scan from an fMRI machine of someone's brain, or they look at pictures of their wife and say, oh, we've discovered love. That's love, that activation, that's love. But this is foolish, this is ridiculous. And many philosophers have tried to point that kind of thing out. In that sense, philosophers complain that the scientists don't know what questions to ask or what their answers mean. But they don't necessarily dispute that insofar as the scientist has produced this picture, this scan of the brain, that doesn't say anything. They simply want to make sure that the methodology of the science is sufficient for the claims it's making.
Right. I think that's completely fair. I guess I was saying, I think it's because I just read in Daniel Dennett's book, one of his, I think, probably Intuition Pumps, he talked about how almost every early view of philosophy of mind is just wrong. You know, the early looks at it, you know, maybe not ancient philosophy, but it's the views of the mind philosophically have been, are interesting to look at, but have been, I shouldn't have mentioned this because I'm not able to come up with an actual example, but I had just read that, so I found that interesting.
I think there's something to that, definitely, that science changes our understanding.
Yeah.
I mean, the philosophers invented these concepts before they had science to pin them on. They simply sort of thought their way there, speculated their way there. And so, of course, as the scientific methods catch up, we can refine our speculations, and that's normal, that's good. But that's a collaborative enterprise. It's not a question of
absolutely
science dominating or winning or taking over. Not at all.
Yeah, sure. I totally agree. I think that so maybe where the problem comes in is that there are many atheists of the new atheist variety, I guess, who would say that science is more important because nothing. I guess the argument you're outlining is that science is the only way to really know anything, because no matter how sure you might be of a philosophical argument for God, it could always be disproven if you found any observations that went contrary to it. Or maybe it's disproven because you can't make any observations about it at all. So maybe that's what they're saying. That I'm trying to find exactly what to pinpoint what you're objecting to.
Okay. Well, the basic point. So the first argument is that science is a unreliable, insufficient source of arguments against religion. And the basic claim here is that science is about this natural world, about how things should happen in the natural world, according to the laws and regularities that it discovers. Now, if science says that something can't happen, such as a miracle, virgin birth or rising from the dead and so on, then all it says is it's not possible according to the rules of the natural world that such a thing could happen. But of course, the religious person comes along and says, well, that's the point. The whole point of a miracle is that it's a divine intervention against the natural law. So in that, you can't disprove that with science, because all you've done is come to the same conclusion as the religious person. Only God could have done this. Only a supernatural event could have, outside nature event could have achieved this. Well, that's not an argument against religion, is it?
Now, yeah,
I will
agree.
Say that. I would say that that science has done something enormously important for atheism. It has given us the possibility of a naturalistic metaphysics. So that before, we had to have supernatural interventions all the time. Before, we had to have God intervening to keep the world spinning, to keep the stars up, and so on. And step by step, science has shown that there's no supernatural entity or forces required at all. Nature can do it all by itself. The machine can run by itself. And that's enormously important. And they've also shown that just about everything that religions say about how the natural world does work is wrong. So we neither need religion to hold the world up, and neither do we need it to explain anything at all about how the world does work. We can do much, much better with the way that science provides knowledge. And given that most people spend most of the time in this world, that really reduces the relevance of the religious of religious beliefs, even for people who are religious.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think something I tried to make on a recent episode, I talked about scientism, was that can't we get – you say that science hasn't provided much – I think you've said both that science, scientism sort of reduces the amount of argument against religion, and that science hasn't really contributed any new arguments, right? Or it doesn't really contribute much to the arguments against religion because of the fact that it's limited to our natural world?
Yes.
Okay. I think
you can't disprove religion with it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But what I tried to say is that in a sense, it has disproven religion because every religion has had to evolve so much that it's not even recognizable from when it started. So I totally agree that no matter given – and I actually said this a while ago in an episode. No matter what science accomplishes, no matter where it takes us, you can always just say, oh, okay, well, God's outside of that. You know, you can always just retreat one level up. I totally agree. But there's a practical sense in which I do think science has disproven most religions, mm-hmm. in that if you took an iteration of religion from a given year, I don't know, the year 300, the year 400, something like that, science has basically disproven almost every truth claim of it. And it's had to evolve and it's had to change it to the point where it's not really even the same thing. So in my mind, that seriously undermines the legitimacy of it, because you would think that those who were close to these supposed miraculous events and supposed times when God himself was actually on earth, you would think that they would be right or closer to having the right ideas about religion, but it's had to change so much. So in my mind, I count that as a win for science. I count that as science having disproven most of, if not completely enough to render unlikely a given iteration of religion. But you are right that, of course, it can evolve, it can change, and it somehow bears the same name. I don't know how that works, but it completely changes its claims and its understanding to retreat to a point where science can't disprove it. So I guess I'm trying to see, maybe I'm trying to see it both ways a little too much. I'm trying to give science the credit for that win, but I do agree that it can just retreat and it can't be beaten that way.
Well, yes, but that's a victory because pragmatically speaking, religion is less and less important to people who are religious.
Right.
They don't need religion to step out the door anymore. They don't need religion to get the weather forecast for the next day and so on. It's retreated practically from their lives. And that's one of the reasons why liberal societies have become possible, because religion is simply less important to most people who are religious. It's less pervasive in their life and how they think of themselves. That's how I think of it. Perhaps the American context is different.
Hmm. No, that's true.
I mean, you mentioned this lack of faith in evolution, but there's also a lack of faith in climate change, and I don't know if that's got anything to do with religion.
Well, I think it does, because it just so happens that the religious right are the ones that don't. I mean, it's a hell of a coincidence if it doesn't.
Well, I mean, I've looked at Gallup polls, and they track party affiliation and believing in climate change. And it seems that around the end of the 80s, early 90s, Republican and Democrats voters had very similar levels of belief in climate change. And since then, they deviated markedly. It seems more like a political partisanship issue than a religious one.
Interesting.
So I'm not sure that the Republicans who disbelieve in climate change, because the Democrats do believe in it, if they're exactly anti-science, or if their problem is partisan politics.
Well, I think they are anti-science because of partisan politics. Most Republicans are not all, but most Republicans in this country are quite anti-science in a lot of ways. Evolution is one. Although it is shocking how, you know, the numbers aren't as landslide as you'd think. I mean, of the 50% who, or I think it was 55%, I'm pretty sure. I just saw the poll. 55% will say it's somewhere close to that, who don't believe in evolution, who don't accept it. You would hope that it would just be 50, you know, most of it would be conservatives or something, but it's not as much as you'd think. So it's kind of shocking. So that goes to your point, I think. But distrust of science is definitely something that I think is just, it is a problem on both sides, now that I think about it, because the liberal version of it is distrust of medicine. That's the liberal version of it.
And genetically modified crops, very oddly.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's something I cared a lot about. Go ahead.
I guess what I'm getting at here then is that most people accept the scientific method in principle, but on particular issues, they're easily politicized. And it seems to me that sticking atheism together with science so closely may not be a good strategy, simply because people people who have a bone to pick with the scientific method will also have a bone to pick with atheism. This association is not necessary. And therefore, if you're trying to demand that people believe in atheism and science, you may be increasing the burden of proof that some people will demand from you, especially given how easily people in America seem to reject science in cases they don't, when it's inconvenient for them. So you may be undermining general faith in science by tying it to atheism. I'm not sure I expressed that very clearly, but do you get what I'm saying?
I do. I think you're making a good point, and I think that these questions I've been asking are not coming from a place of trying to disprove what you're saying. I'm just trying to sort through it, and I think that you reminded me of the fact that I have actually wanted to do an episode on this. I've way too many in the bank though, and way too many that I'm planning. But yes, liberal distrust of science in the case of GMO and medicine. It really boggles my mind, and you bring up a good point. I think that you're absolutely right when you say that almost everyone universally accepts the scientific method. I really think that's true. Because one thing Republicans like to do, sorry, not Republicans so much as I found one thing that deeply religious people like to do when they're arguing. Is they like to say, "Oh, look, I love science. I like this part of science. I like that part of science." But I don't believe in evolution, or I don't, you know, like they'll do that. You're absolutely right about that. That's a great point. I think that there's certain associations that I don't know are going to go away because of how, I mean, the only anti-evolution arguments are religious. I mean, there's no, the scientific community accepts it, you know, the people who know what they're talking about accept it. And that has sort of become one of the battlefields of religion versus atheism. So I sort of understand why science is paired with atheism in that sense.
Yes, but that gets me to perhaps the final aspect.
Sure, go ahead.
And this is sort of my diagnosis of new atheism, which may be contentious, and fair enough, not every person who thinks of themselves as a new atheist thinks like this. But I have this idea of new atheisms, that the problems that I've been talking about, that they're connected with this kind of battlefield mentality. And I think that has an intimate connection with America's culture wars. And then I see, I mean, the reason why you atheists have this strange commitment to this narrow way of understanding the world with science is partly because of all these decades-long disputes about creationism. I mean, these prominent authors who started out the new atheism, like Dawkins especially, had this long history of trying to argue with creationists and trying to show that science disproves their claims about Noah's Ark and the rest. And this is an antagonistic stance. And if that's the atheism, if that's where the atheism comes from, then that the traces of that initial antagonism persist in the idea of new atheism, I think. So its attraction, its commitment to science, its scientism even, but also its antagonistic political stance. This is simply the cultural wars continued and not a positive identity of how to be an atheist.
I don't think I fully understood that. I'm sorry if that's my fault.
I might be getting a little bit tired myself.
Yeah, it's getting a little late.
Okay, so when I was criticizing each of these different aspects of new atheism, as I understand it, it seemed to me that a lot of them came from the history of new atheism and its history in the science wars in America.
Let me just quickly mm-hmm. pause to clarify, just going forward. So are you coming from the position and the idea that these science wars are over? we need to move on from it because the battle's been won? Is that sort of...
Well, not at all, but...
Okay, I just want to clarify, where you're coming from there before I... Yeah, because I think that's sort of what's confusing me. I'm not sure if you're saying that's, you know, we need to get rid of this relic of some science war past.
Well, it seems to me that if new atheism was born in this, in the science wars, then it's more explicable why it has taken the shape that it has taken, which is quite antagonistic, but also so quite antagonistic politically and quite hyperbolic rhetorically, and also in terms of its scientism, the reason why science looks like the gold standard for understanding the world is not because it actually is positively the gold standard for understanding the world, but because that's the stick they've been using for so long to beat down the creationists and then just be left holding the stick. So, I mean, I'm not criticizing science at all. I'm simply saying that if you were trying to build up a materialistic metaphysics, way of understanding the world, an epistemology, then you wouldn't limit yourself to science in the way that new atheism seems to have. You'd want other things. Otherwise, you're stuck with these strange ideas that you can decide on the abortion debates thanks to science. That simply doesn't work at all.
Yeah, you do need two steps. I mean, you need to establish what your criteria for granting human rights is, and then you need to use science to determine when that threshold is met, it seems to me. So yeah, I agree. You can't just use science, or you have some other moral philosophy that disregards both those things. I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting. So as a way of explanation, and not necessarily to argue with what you're saying, I would say that I think that's sort of an accurate summary of why things are the way they are. I think in the case of Dawkins, I just have a lot of sympathy for him because in reading his books throughout the years and just him as a biologist, disregarding new atheism, which I think is hard to do now, but wouldn't have been that hard to do, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, when he was more of a scientist, certainly in around the 90s, than he was like an atheist. I think what happens, I mean, it's, I have a lot of sympathy for the fact that his entire field and what he's devoted his study, his research to, and made great contributions to the field of evolution, is something that's just so rejected by such a high percentage of people. If it's 55% now, I don't know what it was in 1990 or so or earlier when he was writing, you know, when he was writing his books explaining evolution and all that. And I think that it must be hard for someone like him to have gone so many years of having to argue with people who are just wrong. I mean, just like not only wrong, but proud to be wrong, like proudly disregarding his entire field and saying that it's, you know, it's all wrong because no one's ever thought of the question, why are there still monkeys? You know, like no one's ever, that's never occurred to anyone. And so therefore his entire field of study is wrong. I think that as a way of sort of explaining maybe where this comes from, I think that for biologists in this country, certainly, or as you say, you seem to think of Dawkins as pretty Americanized, or at least, you know, speaking from a more American perspective, that must be hard. I don't know. That must get old. So I could see why science and atheism has sort of morphed into scientism for them. And I think if you look at Jerry Coyne, did you read his, he responded.
No, I haven't read his one.
He responded to Pigliucci. I recommend you look at it. I'm going to as well before I have him on, because he was very scathing. And he's another biologist. So that seems to fit. And I don't know. So yeah, I agree that that's a little troubling, but I think I understand it. And I think that it makes sense in its context, but yeah, going forward, I mean, if you placed new atheists in another society, like maybe the one you're currently living in, it wouldn't make much sense. I mean, it would be pretty insane to just be left with the stick, as you say. I think you're right.
Yes. So that's my main point, is that if this is not the place you would like to be in as an atheist, then see if you can, if people as new atheists can overcome that history and try to shape the movement into the movement they would like it to be, one that isn't scarred and shaped by this history of opposition and even persecution by religious people. And yeah, that's sort of the main concern I have in the article, that new atheism should not be a slave of its history. It should be somehow autonomous.
Okay.
I mean, perhaps the connection with the gay rights movement makes sense. I mean, there was the Stonewall riots. There were the initial initial gay rights movement was very antagonistic. It was very critical of heteronormative society. It was very radical, really, in its ideas for social change or separation. But that's not when it was most successful. It's been most successful in terms of what you said you wanted, in terms of being able to be an atheist at your job, you know, with your family, with your relatives, and that not be a problem. It's been much more successful since it's dropped that radical aspect. And perhaps new atheism will have a similar trajectory.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that ties it up pretty well.
Okay.
I think that if I were going to sort of give an account of how I'm reconciling my sort of, I guess you would say, beliefs, I don't know, about atheism and the movement with what you've said, I think I'd say that I don't mind people like Dawkins out there. I really don't. I think that maybe the point you're making is that they shouldn't shape the entire movement. I could certainly agree
that
with
too.
That.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. But I will say that I still hold on to the idea that I do. I mean, I'll use the weighted language, I suppose, and sort of I'll sort of take it on and accept it. I do want to convert people. I do want more people to come over to the truth, the light. Mm-hmm. I think the reason would be that I see the sort of pitfalls that you outline. I think they're important concerns. And I think for myself, I would more be approaching it not in the sense that I think it's going to solve every problem, but that I want to mainly live in a world where people think we live in the world. No, where people understand that this is our only chance. I think that would be maybe the biggest belief that liberalism doesn't necessarily solve. I think it can, but it's just so hard to interact with people in American society as an atheist who think that there's, you know, someone in charge of everything and that everything's going to be okay and that all these terrible tragedies are fine because it'll all be accounted for after we're dead. And I just think that it bends reality for those people so much that I find it a worthwhile endeavor to try my best to make sure more people don't think that. But like you say, it's more, a question of the approach, and how we're achieving that. So I suppose I'm still maybe slightly disagreeing in that I don't think for myself, I don't know if you would say I'm just wrong to believe this, but for me, pluralism isn't quite enough. In that specific way, I just think more people need to have a reality based worldview.
Well, I would also like it to be the case that there were less religious people, but I think the strategies that one can use to achieve that.
I want to make sure we're talking strategy versus do you believe that it's wrong to even believe that? Do you believe that it's wrong to do you believe that it's too religious to want to convert other people to your way of thinking as regards atheism? Or is it just a question of strategy?
I simply want to point out the symmetry that the religions that atheism, and the new atheists especially, criticize so vehemently, like Catholicism and Mormonism and so forth, they also have exactly this structure of beliefs and want to convert people. So once you recognize that you're playing the exact same game, you should at least accept that you should play according to the exact same rules, which are the rules of liberalism, which limit how far you can go in trying to persuade people to your point of view, okay, especially in terms of how far you can use the state to persuade people.
Oh, yeah, I think I would have to agree with you there. That's a good point. Okay, I think that's okay. That's a good summary of it. I guess I would have just wanted to say that as an atheist, I don't believe the problem with religion is that they try to convert people. I don't think that's the problem at all. And I'm not sure if that's your view or not. But when people say that, I do know a lot of apathetic atheists who think, hey, if you're trying to convert people, you're just as bad as them. And for me, no, I'm not, because I don't think that's the problem with religion. I think that if you have a belief that other people are going to go to hell if they don't do these certain things, I think you better be out there trying to convert people. Otherwise, you're evil for not for being okay with everyone going to hell. So that's not the issue for me. It's more a question of I think in some ways you can't help but have similarities with religion, because, you know, at some level you're going to be similar. I mean, we all drive cars for the most part, and we all, there's a lot of things we both do that aren't bad just because religious people do them. And for me, trying to convert people is one of those things. But your point is well taken in the manner in which we need to go about doing that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on. I'd love to have you back again, because I really like your clear thinking, it's very enjoyable and it feels good not to be talking to someone who's very reactionary or very, in your writing, you're not a provocateur. I don't think, I mean, maybe
well, actually this was one of my most provocative pieces.
Exactly. But I think the way you did it was very reasonable.
That's the claim I was trying to make.
Good. So
be reasonable.
So I just want to say, I mean, I'll keep an eye on the blog or on any other places where you might be published, and if you'd like to, I'd love to have you on again.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like that too. This was fun.
I'd like to take this time to make a few humble requests of our wonderful listening audience. Please give us a review on iTunes. It helps the show immensely. Also, give us a like on facebook.com/atheisticallyspeaking. And give us a follow on Twitter, username @speakatheism. If an episode sparks a thought or comment, leave it on the Facebook page and the guys might discuss it on the air. Thank you and enjoy the rest of the show.
So as I said, I got an enormous number of comments both on when I posted just the article and when I posted the first episode. So I think I want to go through a lot of these. Man, there's a lot here. I'm going to do my best to sort of collect my thoughts in light of all these comments. So Alan, this is Cincy Farmer is kind of the name he goes by. Most of it is a quote. I'm just going to read the last part. Essentially, if I'm an atheist, this is quoting Thomas Wells. If I'm an atheist, I'm an apathetic one. The non-existence of God is a matter of great insignificance to me. And isn't this how it should be if atheism is true? End quote. And Cincy Farmer says, no, not when Christian theology is taking over your country and religiosity is killing millions around the globe. Apathy? I don't have. And by writing such an accusatory article, I believe you're contradicting yourself. So I'm trying to think how Thomas would respond. And I don't mean me. That would be kind of funny if I... How would Thomas Smith respond to this? Well, I'll have to think. So when I did sort of challenge him on this, I think you guys should agree. I mean, I did try to make this point and many others. What he would say is that, first off, he seemed to have the view that Christian theology is not taking over our country, which, I don't know, that was weird. I wasn't ready for that. I mean, he talked about the fact that he thought that, you know, like he thought only 10% of religious people voted on their beliefs. He thought that it's, you know, despite the fact that Bush was, you know, supposedly Christian president, well, he was, but like that he really didn't do anything, pass anything that was, you know, like that religious and stuff like that. And when I challenged him on these things, basically to summarize all of it, he seemed to say that the answer was not spreading the truth of atheism. The answer was spreading secularism and I guess liberalism. And, it's unclear if he means, I think, Bangs Naughty Bits keeps asking and pointed out that he might mean classical liberalism and not liberalism as it's defined in our country right now. I'm not sure. I actually emailed him and, I haven't gotten an answer, so I'll probably put that in the bonus material. In the bonus material, I'm going to talk a bit more about this and see if I can get some additional answers from Mr. Wells. We'll see if he responds in time. I'm not sure. So anyway, back to this comment. Yeah, that's sort of how I look at it. I mean, the other problem I outlined is there are people whose beliefs make it such that you can't argue them to a position of liberalism. I mean, if their belief is that people shouldn't be allowed to do certain things or people, you know, who aren't their religion shouldn't be allowed, you know, Thomas Wells would say, well, the people who argued for secularism historically were not atheists. They were religious people who argued for the importance of like pluralism and that kind of thing. And I'm not sure what to say to that. I mean, I think you can kind of do both. And I think we do. I mean, a lot of atheists are members of secular. I suppose we need to just focus our discussion on the Four Horsemen, which seems to be, you know, writing an article. It's a little frustrating because I like Thomas Wells a lot. I want to have him back on. But I think, and I don't know if he would admit this or not, he did admit that this was his most contentious article. But I think there's an element of trying to get eyeballs to your article. And the way that you do that is by, you know, writing something that goes against the new atheist. That just seems to be. And he did publish on, or rather a website published him who was a which is a more religious type of website. So they're sort of taking advantage of atheists criticizing other atheists. So I don't know. I mean, that seems to be the thing to do, just criticize the new atheists. It's getting really boring. It's getting to the point where it's like, I don't know what, you know, what are we even getting out of that? Even if you think that they shouldn't be saying anything, like now you're protesting so much. Everyone is protesting so much about the new atheists. It's getting to the point where they're being more vocal than the new atheists even are at a certain point, right? But anyway, I think that all four horse people, and maybe five horse people, if you include Hitchens and I don't know, Ion Hersey Ali, or there's others, marginal horse people. I think they are all advocates of secularism. I guess Thomas Wells' point would be that if you're too angry and too forceful with your beliefs, then you actually turn people off. And that, I mean, if that's what he's saying, then that's fair. I think that that's an opinion. We've talked about it on the show before. I'm personally open to sort of all types of atheists and all kinds of people's approaches. What I think happens is it's not so much that the new atheists decided like, ooh, I'm going to be really forceful. It's that they sell the most books. You know, they rise to the top. There are plenty of atheists out there who are respectful. You know, I'd like to think I'm pretty respectful, not that I'm ever going to be as famous as any of the Four Horsemen. But what happens is they don't make headlines. The people who have made headlines are the ones who have been more forceful and you know, are willing to say controversial things. Dennett seems to be the exception every time. I'm not really sure. I think it's because he's just such a great man. I mean, he's such a great thinker, such a great philosopher. I think he's built where he is on incredible substance and careful thinking and that sort of thing, which, I mean, that can happen. And this is not to take away from any of the other new atheists. I just think that there's a lot that goes into it. And part of it is that the people who are the most controversial and the most forceful tend to get the most attention. Because they get that negative attention, they get that positive attention, it sort of adds together and builds into quite a following either way. So let me move on. I think I'll come back to some of those thoughts, but we got a lot more comments. Let's see. Oh, Thaddeus said, he seems to bang on about how liberalism is the cure for religious evils in society. What he doesn't grasp, and he admits this, is that in the U.S., the religious right has hijacked the political system. Again, this is sort of similar point, and pushed it so far right that the liberals we have would be considered fascists where he's from. I think this guy needs to take a trip to the deep south. If religion was like, all right, if religion was here like it is. Okay, I think it's a typo. That's why I'm having a hard time. He means if religion was here like it is in Norway, I wouldn't care a lot either. Also, his notion that religion in general is behaving itself better may be true overall. I don't know. I would have to see some data on that. But in certain places, it is most definitely not. The rise of Islamist fundamentalism in East Asia is one example. Yeah, it's weird. That's another one of those comments where I agree. I think Thomas Wells would argue around that and say that, like you said, I mean, what you need to be arguing for is liberalism. And I guess, again, I'll have to go back to my response to that was like, okay, let me take the chance to say this. What is the difference? And I meant to ask him this, but I think we just ran out of time. I mean, we sort of did bring up the example of heliocentrism, geocentrism. I mean, if we were talking about not atheism, but evolution, let's just say evolution. Are the people who are spreading the truth with a capital T about evolution, I wonder if he would have a problem with them. Are they being too forceful? Is really the problem that they need to, you know, spread the truth about liberalism of ideas when it comes to science? Like, is there a difference there? I guess because it's a scientific consensus or something. I just don't understand how it seems like you could do this with any belief. I mean, anti-racism are people who are anti-racist being just as bad as the racists because they're, you know, the way they preach about it. Like it seems like you could do that with anything and it sort of falls apart. I regret that I didn't bring that up because I suspect he'd have an answer for it. He had an answer for everything, which means either he's right about everything or he's just really smart or some combination of those two. Let's just go back to the beginning of his article, though. In the beginning, he says, "I am as embarrassed by the new atheists as many Christians are embarrassed by the evangelical fundamentalists who appoint themselves the representatives of Christianity." Okay, so right there, I just think that's not fair. I mean, even if I'm trying to take all his points on or accept most of his points, I mean, if he's saying that, Richard Dawkins, new atheists are too forceful, or they're too, they say, hey, all your beliefs are wrong. And so that's not, Wells wants to say, okay, that's not a good way of convincing people, et cetera. If you want to say all that, fine. But I think you just have to look at the harm that's caused here. I mean, if you want to compare fundamentalists to atheists, it's not even close. I mean, okay, on one hand, a fundamentalist preaches fire and brimstone against gays, says they are, they should go to hell. There shouldn't be gay marriage, stuff like that on one hand. And then on the other hand, Richard Dawkins says, I can't believe, can't believe people are so dumb they believe in religion. Like what's the harm that he causes? Sure, he might cause some people offense or discomfort, but there's no harm that's caused by atheists, if you want to call it atheists, preaching their religion. There just isn't any harm. I mean, I suppose Wells, he's just trying to say that they shouldn't be doing that, that atheism should just be nothing to him. Like it should just be, you don't even think about it, and you simply plead for secularism or something. But I just don't know why we would need to do that. I really don't. I mean, I don't accept that these things are equivalent, that trying to tell people they shouldn't believe in these terrible beliefs is just as bad as trying to get them to believe in some set of terrible beliefs. I just don't get it. I don't think I accept that. There are some criticisms I'm willing to accept of the movement, but I just, overall, I mean, I'm fine with people trying to argue for atheism, trying to spread unbelief. I mean, it's just like any other, just take any possible belief. Just take any belief that, the boogeyman, it's like, well, we shouldn't be trying to tell people they're stupid for believing in the boogeyman. We should be arguing for a society in which boogeyman believers and non-boogeyman believers can get along. Like it's ridiculous. I mean, isn't there a point? Is the difference just that so many people believe in it? Is that all it is for Thomas Wells? I don't know. I mean, and I think he might listen to this. So Thomas, if you're listening, I'm happy to go ahead and respond to whatever you want, or if you want to continue the conversation another time, I'm absolutely happy to do so. It's hard because when I pushed him on a lot of these things, he seemed to have good answers, but it just doesn't make sense. Is this why people hate philosophy? Is this why people don't like philosophers? Because it's starting to unravel a little bit. And look, I think there's a component of new atheism where I don't even know that Richard Dogg, all these people, I keep saying the same, which gets so tiring. Saying the same names over and over, Sam Harris, whoever it is, I don't think that their number one goal and the only reason they exist is to spread atheism. I think there's a certain amount of it that's like, it's entertainment. There's a certain amount of it that is just purely entertainment. Let me put it to you this way. If it was just to convert or deconvert, why would any atheists ever go and see a talk by Richard Dawkins? I mean, assuming it's, or Sam Harris, assuming, unless the talk is like, okay, how to be a better atheist or something. Most of the time, these atheists, they have talks or they write books that, I mean, you pretty much already agree with, when I read these books, I agree with most of it already. I'm not reading it because I'm going to have my mind changed most of the time. I mean, I read them because they're a nice outlet. It feels good to read something that I agree with. It feels good to know that I'm not crazy for being an atheist. Like, I admit and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Unless, if someone's just purely being a spectacle, and being offensive to religious people for no other reason than to sell something, then I wouldn't support that. But I mean, these horsemen have good thoughts. They have, they're scientific people. They're philosophers. They're people who are worth listening to, and I enjoy it. So I just don't see what the harm is, I guess. I really don't. I'm to the point I tried to see it the other way, and I just don't think I do. I think I'm fine with these atheists. If other atheists want to rise up and take a more calm approach, that's good too. I'm all for all of it. I just think that we're better off if more people don't accept these terrible claims. I mean, again, I hate to keep doing this, but what about people who believe in the evils of GMO or the anti-vaxxers? It's just like any other thing. I mean, I can think of a zillion examples for this. Are people who are pro-vaccination like, look, we shouldn't be arguing our pro-vaccination side. Then we're just as religious as these. I don't get it. I really don't get it now. I think that the key that several people have pointed out and that Thomas Wells pointed out in his own article is that he just doesn't live in a country where it matters, you know? And so I think it's easy to take this view. And I think if I were to point out one more thing that's a little odd, he talks about how it's born in America and how Richard Dawkins is practically an American in the way he writes, et cetera, et cetera. And Hitchens actually did live in America and was, I think he did obtain American citizenship at one point. But he's criticizing it like it shouldn't, you know, it's too American and it's born of this conflict. Well, why are you criticizing these American horsemen for this? Like it would be one thing if you wanted to say, like there was some, I don't know, Australian or someone from his country who was taking the same sort of tone. If you wanted to criticize that person and say, look, you're being too, this tone you're taking, it's based from a sort of an American sense of this war that's happening, this culture war that's happening, you know, but you don't need to take that tone. You're in this country. That I understand. But when he's going from a position where he is and saying, you know, things seem kind of calm here. I can't believe that new atheism, you know, I can't believe there's such a war mentality when things are perfectly calm where I am. And he's criticizing people who are living in the midst of this war. I mean, it's a little weird. I guess he did reveal that he just doesn't think the war exists as much. I think that's too harsh a term. I don't think there's actually a war, but of course, so I think there's a lot of that going on. I didn't want to just distill all his points down to you should come live here, because I don't think that's fair. I think he has good points. I think I've outlined them, but in the end, I mean, I think that's where this sort of mentality comes from. And I think it's a little weird to criticize people who are living in America and who are writing from an American perspective and criticize them that, you know, they shouldn't be basing what they're writing in the country they're in. It's kind of weird. I don't know. So, but the one thing I didn't talk about was scientism. At least I didn't talk about it in my analysis here. And I think the reason I didn't talk about it is because I have Pigliucci on next week, as I've said, can't wait. So I think I'll leave the scientism issue for there. Let me just say that I think Wells has some points about scientism. And, if you separate those points, I think his paper becomes, or his article becomes a lot less interesting. So I think, next week we'll sort of take on the scientism aspect by itself, which I think is, pretty interesting, makes some good points. So, that's awesome. So, we're coming to the end of the week, end of the episode. So I got to thank my patrons, the best, Havard S, Jonathan Moyer. I don't know. No one ever corrected me, so I'll just assume it's pronounced that way. John P, Bangs Naughty Bits, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for your support. And going to the next tier here, Cincy Farmer. He's been awesome. Lots of comments too. I always like that. Jeremy Sharp and Matt Garrett. Thank you guys. I think comments from all those guys at some point or another. I got so many I lost track. So thank you so much to all my patrons. I really appreciate it. Trying to keep building and keep plugging away because I want to have more time to make better and better stuff. So sign on to patreon.com/ Atheist if you're not on there already and get access to the bonus content. All right, that's my tiny little pitch. I tried to limit my Patreon pitch this time. But thanks for listening, and I will see you for a great round of episodes next week with Massimo Piliucci. Adios.